This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. By the way, Tony DeCopole of CBS News, huge Mets fan, by the way. So that's another reason why we would expect him to join us this morning or tomorrow to talk about his side of the story with the Bill Belichick, Jordan Hudson thing that's just been back and forth. CBS News says one thing, Jordan Hudson and Bill Belichick say another, and it just continues to grow. So Stephen Waldron is on it of CBS Sports, and we're hoping that he gets Tony either today or tomorrow. And I think you should use the Mets fan thing as well. If he wants to talk some Mets with us, we could talk some Mets. You know, guys like that, those news guys, they love when they can get outside of the box a little bit and talk some sports. You know,
you can ask him, Mike, did you think that Brandon Nimmo should have been in the lineup last night or not?
Yeah, that stuff kind of like thing. That.
Yes.
He gets some opinions on it, by the way. And I know Jerry's going to play it, so I'm not going to waste this segment now, but J.J. Redick getting asked questions about substitutions and then storming off is just classic J.J. Redick prickdom. You know, he's just like the worst. I mean, this guy can't handle any of this stuff. Drops the mic and leaves. I mean, it's, God.
Why do you think he'd take the job if he... you got to know what's coming. I mean, there's only failure is the only option out there simply because you got a 40-year-old LeBron, you got Bronny on the team, and then you go get Luka Doncic. Right. And then, like, what did they expect that they were going to win a champ? The only way that he could win is if they would win a championship.
Yeah.
And he has a very, very short temper.
It's not healthy for a guy like
that. That's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't make any sense. I understand from the... I want to say the ego standpoint, like, hey, you're going to be able to coach the Lakers. That's a pretty big job, and it's probably one of the more pressurized jobs in all of professional sports because of the expectations of that jersey and of that franchise and their fan base. But, you know, if you take that, you got to know that this is going to be, like, the sort of questions you're going to receive if your team falters and falls apart.
Right, and they get smacked around by the Timberwolves, and at home, no less. He's got to sit there and take it. I mean, even if he's annoyed by the questions, at that point, you got to sit there and take it because you failed, and you failed epically, and you're the coach. So you got to deal with it. And then now, you know, you storm out of your final interview at the end of the season with the assembled media there. I mean, they're going to hate you even more. They're going to go after you.
Yeah, but I wonder, you know, what is ownership, what does Rob Pelinka, their GM, think? Like that is... I mean, like, you lost the game, you lost the series, you got to sit there and you got to be as, I guess, not understanding, but you got to be able to explain yourself and explain what you think happened and why it happened, and you got to answer the questions as part and parcel of that job. That's why you get paid so much to do that job.
Yeah, I mean, and I know it's a little bit different, but LeBron did sit there for a long time, answered every question, sat back in the chair, took the microphone, talked and talked and talked. I saw like 8 or 9 minutes of it this morning when I got to work. ESPN was just playing the whole thing, and he was just answering every question honestly.
And that's what you have to do. I mean, like, you could be a LeBron hater, or you could love LeBron and hate the fact that he's not moving on in the playoffs, but I will say that it's like President Trump. If you don't like him, you don't like him, but at least he's sitting there talking.
Yeah.
And he's telling you what he's doing. And I think that's kind of like what LeBron had to go through last night, which I'm sure wasn't easy for him.
No. I mean, and he's got all the accolades and the MVPs and the championships, so it's easier for him to maybe deal with something like this at 40 than J.J. Redick, who's never done anything in the NBA, but he should take a page out of the pros book there and get a little bit of a harder... outside, so he's just not, you know, storming off in those situations.
I will say, you know, he's never coached in the NBA before. Be like, you know, the Knicks hiring Wally Szczerbiak. You know, that's what it would be like.
Wally would never take that job. Wally played over 300 rounds of golf last year. He would never take the job. He would not give up golf
for the Knicks head coaching job.
Are you sure about that? I mean, a Knicks head coaching job comes with a nice payday.
It does. And he's got daughters who are like horses. That's very expensive.
I'm telling you.
Very expensive.
But that would be like Wally getting a job for the Knicks. Is J.J. Redick getting a job for the Lakers?
No, it's true. No, you're right. I mean,
somebody who knows basketball, loves basketball, probably gets along with a lot of the players, except for Tyrese Halliburton.
He gets along with all the Knicks players, and he loves Tibbs and loves Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson and Rick Brunson and everybody. Yeah, I mean, you're right. It would be like that. I'd be curious. Wally, it is a big – it's millions and millions every year that you could make.
And he's a basketball junkie.
But he's given up a lot of golf in his prime. Act that man – I mean, that it would significantly cut into his time.
And it would significantly cut into my bank account.
Yeah, he gets the money and you lose the money.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That wouldn't be very good.
Yeah.
You know what? I caught myself this morning and I can't get myself out of it. But like, we sat here for so many years with the Knicks being totally irrelevant. Nobody cared. They were the joke of all jokes. And here they are, you know, a 50-win team, back-to-back years. You got an elimination game again in the first round. And then they're you know, potentially going up against the defending champs. And I'm, like, morose about it.
It's never easy.
It's like, why? Like, God, you know, I shouldn't be like that. I can't enjoy this?
You know, it was interesting. I was interviewing Torrey Lovello yesterday for Game Time.
Yeah.
So he came in, and, you know, obviously they just got hammered by the Mets, and, of course, they won last night. And, I was sitting there, and we were just talking about the Mets. He goes, man, they got a really good team. And I said, you know, as a Met fan since 1968, Torrey, I have to tell you, I expected a good start. I didn't expect this good of a start, and I want to be able to enjoy this start.
Yeah.
And I am enjoying it thoroughly, even though his Diamondbacks beat the Mets yesterday. But, I mean, this is where we are as Knicks fans. We want to be able to enjoy it, but there seems like there's something holding us back from enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you get Mikal Bridges, you get Karl Anthony Towns, you assemble the roster that, as you said earlier, is supposed to beat the Celtics. That's why you did this. And they play a different style of basketball than last year's team. They don't have that tough sort of reputation that they had, and it's been like a stop and start sort of weird season. They beat up on the bad teams, lose to the good teams. You just haven't had that. You haven't fallen in love with them. At least I haven't this year. It feels like we're just waiting for the bad thing to happen, as opposed to being positive and hoping that the good thing happens because you trust them. And that
just
that
go out
stinks.
Tonight and win. Then go out tonight and win.
Like, I want to be super. Like, should we just put on like the super positive button today? Like, you want to flip that switch and let's just.
Yeah, but
it
would be disingenuous.
Yeah, and but I don't where I'm at right now.
I know, but I don't want to be disingenuous. I want to be genuine about our thoughts. I hope they win tonight. I think it's going to go seven. I really do.
You think that they're going to lose tonight, huh?
They're going to be challenged tonight.
Well, definitely, but
maybe I'm thinking the opposite of what I thought the other day. Like walkover spot.
Yeah.
We could have a walkover spot, but credit Bickerstaff and his coaching staff and the way that this team has played and how physical this game and these games have been. So, I mean, you know, they've won two games in Detroit. Seems like the teams play better on the road than they do at home for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, the Knicks in particular, for sure. I mean, they at home has just been bad. I mean, they outside of that great run that they had in game one, they've been terrible at home. Which is one of those things that makes you nuts, because if you're making a case for the Knicks being able to compete with the Celtics, you would say, hey, they got a huge home court advantage. That would be one of the things we would say if that were true. We would say, hell, it's tough to go into the Garden and win. No, wasn't for the Pistons. It hasn't been for the Celtics this year in the regular season.
I mean, the Rangers were 19-19-3 at the Garden this year.
Yeah. Definition of mediocre there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When you're on your home ice or your home court, man, that's got to be an advantage.
Yeah, the Knicks' home record in the regular season was what?
Their home record in the regular. Remember, they lost a bunch of games. Like,
let's see. So they at home were 27-14.
That's not bad.
And
like the Cavaliers at home, for instance, were 34-7 at home. The Boston Celtics at home are 28-13, so one game better than the Knicks at home.
Yeah.
Where the Celtics were good, they were 33-8 away from home. That's crazy.
So they were, yeah, they were 27-14 at home and 24-17 on the road. So very similar. Yeah. I don't know.
Trying, man. I'm trying. It's just impossible to be a fan without going down the negative route sometimes. I don't want to do that. But, like, the Mets, we're very happy with them. That is true. But, like, with this team, you're dying for playoff games, dying for them to be relevant. And they are, and all I'm thinking about is how they're going to lose. Not if they're going to lose, but when.
It's like, I swear to God, the Knicks are like the Rangers. Forget this year. I'm talking about last year, the President's Trophy team. Really good team. Really good players. Top-end goalie, yes, for sure. Superstars, maybe one, maybe two, you know, last year. But just everything was hard.
Yeah.
And that's where the Knicks are right now. Really, really good players. Yeah. You know, you got two all-star starters, by the way.
Yep.
But do you have any all-pros?
I mean,
first team all-NBA.
Yeah. I mean, Jalen Brunson's got to, he's got to do it. He's been the guy. Him and Karl Anthony Towns, when they play well, the team wins. It's really more Towns. Like, Brunson can put up a huge game and they still lose. When Towns is dominant, they don't lose. When he played a game like game three, they do not lose. So that's really what you need. Now, he might play a game like that against the Celtics and lose because they're so talented, so good, and they're defending champs. But in this series, against teams that are very good or bad, not elite, he's the guy. And I'd love to see that again. And you'll know right away. You'll know right away in the first quarter what type of stuff he's got. He's got his good stuff. Does he have his good stuff tonight? Steve in Pennsylvania joins us. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, what's going on, Gio?
Hey, how you doing today?
Good, good. You're going to get a kick out of this. Somebody called in yesterday, and I want to piggyback off it, off of beat the words that BT uses.
Yeah.
So he tries to, like, insert his dominance over Sal. It's great. He doesn't even use the words when he works solo, but I compiled a list if you got a second.
Wait, so you made a list too?
Yeah, but hold on. Saying that he only uses these words to dominate Sal.
Yeah, if you listen, like when he's solo, he just talks like a normal, you know, sports host. But when Sal's there, he tries to insert his dominance, and I don't know how Sal doesn't call him out on these words, because I don't even know what half of them mean.
Yeah, but see, this is the point, though, about BT. You know,
yeah.
This is the aggressive, testosterone-laden
right.
BT.
I'm going to show you I'm smarter than you by using these words. And
he only does it when he works with Sal, according to Steve here in Pennsylvania. All right, so Steve, what do you got?
Yeah. All right. So, fallibility, extrapolate, prodigious, prolific, ascertain, usurp, aptitude, antiseptic, tactician, dereliction, depiction, adulation, microcosm, and platitude. And that's only about a month I've been tracking.
He's been tracking for a month.
This is unbelievable. So Yes. We have a guy here, Steve, who's done the same thing. And I read those words. So we've got multiple people out there in different states that are writing down the BT vocabulary words. Like, I don't know, should he be proud of that or not?
I don't know. What do you think, Steve? I mean, do you like hearing those words or no?
I don't even know what they mean, so I don't.
Well, Steve, appreciate the phone call,
but
man.
I love the fact that Steve thinks it's because he wants to dominate Sal.
Yeah, that's an interesting take. The platitudes is a good one. I do hear him say that one, platitudes.
Do you think that Sal feels, like, emasculated or dominated?
Not at all. In no way does he feel that way. No. And I don't know, but I'm guessing he doesn't feel that way.
Or do you think he understands?
I'm sure there's a few he doesn't.
Do you think they just go right over his head and he doesn't react to them or no?
Yeah, some of them, yeah. Like, there's a couple of times, like, when Brandon said punchies, like, Sal was like, punchies? You know, like, things like that he'll bring up. But, like, the vocabulary words doesn't call him out on. You know, in the promo they use for BT and Sal, one of them, he says unequivocally, He throws that one out there.
Okay.
And then the other thing he does is he goes, we fundamentally disagree. I hear that all the time.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that
like,
a lot.
It's not just like, well, we disagree on that.
No, it's fundamentally.
Fundamentally.
And he really gets that, like, hits all the syllables.
Stanton fundamentally disagrees unequivocally with your platitudes. The BT vocabulary.
And he's beaten down on Sal.
According to Steve in Pennsylvania, uses it to dominate him, assert his dominance. You got one guy in Sal who is intellectually bankrupt and another guy in BT who is de-evolving. Like, give him a month, he'll be homo erectus. Unequivocally. Those were not platitudes.
Oh, they were not.
Oh. It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo, excuse me, on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. How we doing over there, Stephen Waldron with CBS News and Tony DeCopel? A promising email back, communication. You feeling good about this? Oh, he's still on the air. But did you get, I mean, the person you're communicating with is not on the air, I'm assuming. The person who's dealing with his bookings, right? Okay, so they are ignoring you, is what you're trying to say. You're being ignored. Yes?
Well, they're focused on CBS Morning.
Focus on, right. I mean, you're focusing on our show. You're still sending emails. It's okay. You can do two things at once. I think it's possible for them. I feel like they're ignoring you, is what's going on. But hey, we got 1 hour today, 1 hour tomorrow to get Tony DeCopel on, talk some Mets. Talk some Mets bullpen, see what his take on Ryan Stanek is.
What do you think about Ryan Stanek? Well, you know, what about Jordan Hudson?
Yeah, I know. Imagine if he was like, we're not talking about that.
Yeah,
just like Jordan did.
Oh, my God.
Damn. That'd be funny. That would be good. All right, good luck, Steven. We're rooting for you, man.
Yeah, I am too.
Okay, all right.
See you later. You could always do the workaround. You could always text Nate.
Yeah, there is a workaround, but I don't want a workaround. You know, I want him to do like what he needs to do. That's all, and I think he'll feel if he can make it happen, he'll feel fulfilled, and he has done his job, and he's
and he can when he takes Friday off tomorrow, he can feel good when he's sitting home and saying, "Hey, I did something this week." So
sounds lovely. We are brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Knicks Pistons tonight. Do the Knicks advance, or are we going to have a Game 7? We will find out later tonight. We did find out that the Rockets stayed alive last night as they beat the Warriors.
Adams in his right foot at the top of the key. Shot clock at 9. We've hand off to Amen Thompson. Thompson right side of the floor. Another screen by Jabari. How about Amen for a 3-ball? Swish! You know things are going right when Amen dials up from distance.
Yeah, that's Amen Thompson, who had 25. Rockets win 131-116. Fred VanVleet had 26. Before we get to the tie-in that Al has to this game, just one from VanVleet on Space City Home Network. I guess that's the name of the cable situation there. He says a solid win.
The playoffs is about constantly improving, getting better from game to game. We've done that. I know the results haven't been what we wanted, but we've been able to put together some good performances back-to-back now. So we got to build on this one and go out there game six and handle business.
Now, Steph Curry did struggle shooting the ball last night. There was a photo online that his hand looks a little mangled, his finger specifically, as he was asked about it postgame.
There was a picture, I don't know if you've seen it online, where it looks pretty swollen. I think it was with you walking to the plane.
I got the feds on me? What are you talking about?
No, the internet is the feds at this point.
I love this league so much.
Okay, he can love this league. Now, Al, in the past, when a guy's got an injury, what would you say if you were the opposing team? What do?
You try to injure it, or work it, I'm sorry.
You work it, right? Jerry. Work it. Here was Draymond Green. He was asked this question.
Draymond, Steve mentioned he noticed that defenders, when they're closing out, they're trying to like almost hit Steph's thumb as he's shooting. Have you noticed that, or have you? How much have you seen that, especially in these playoffs?
Yeah, I noticed it. I think it's pretty obvious.
They're working the thumb.
Working the thumb.
Finally, somebody's...
They are going after the thumb. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, it happens.
This is why, you know, in hockey, they don't really want to give you the specific injury that the player is dealing with. They just say upper or lower body.
Yeah, I get it. I understand. I was still...
But in the NFL, they are much more specific.
Well, and that's usually when we're talking about working the leg or the... It's usually football
NFL,
related.
Yes.
We know the injury. Go after it. Which seems kind of barbaric, but you want to win.
Sadly.
I mean, Draymond Green's answering the question about this. This is a man who has kicked at least 50% of the league in the nuts.
So there was a follow-up.
Yeah. Do you think the league should crack down on it at all?
I'm not one to come to cry to you about what the league should do. I see enough people cry about me. And I lose respect for those people when they cry about me, so I will not allow somebody to lose respect for me over that. It's all good.
Yeah, I mean, he's only choked Rudy Gobert, punched Jordan Poole in the face, kicked like 16 guys in the balls. He's the right guy to ask about the league cracking down on things like that, right?
But beyond that, of course.
I'd rather have him on my team.
Oh, yeah. Hell, yeah.
That is very true. Now, the other series was the Lakers and the T-Wolves last night. So I take you pregame to game four when J.J. Redick played played five guys the entire second half, didn't sub anybody out. So a couple days have gone by. This was it's long, but it is what it is. Here's the pregame question and exactly what happened thereafter to Redick.
As you watch the film, what do you recall about your thought process in the moment, sticking with the five you stuck with in the fourth quarter the other day? And is there an assistant or someone maybe that you'll lean on tonight, maybe to try to get, you know, some other guys involved if that opportunity presents itself?
Are you saying that because I'm inexperienced and that was an inexperienced decision that I made? Do you think I don't talk to my assistants about substitutions every single timeout?
No, I just think there's a lot of coaches lean on their assistants in those situations.
As do I, every single time. That's a weird assumption.
That was it.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Coach.
Walked away.
Thank you, Coach.
Lakers.
Did he say in the question, did I miss him say inexperienced at any point?
No, yeah. That was his assumption that the guy was asking him that question. He even looks snarky, doesn't
he? Yeah, no, he's just a jerk. But, I mean, that's like, you know, you ever get talking to
a good-looking guy.
Yeah, but he looks like a jerk, too. You could just tell by his
demeanor.
You can
be attractive and still be a D-bag.
That's basically where we're at with him.
He's got a good set of hair.
No doubt.
But it's like saying to your wife, like, hey, I was thinking about, you know, we should go to this tapas place. Oh, well, that's small plates. Were you saying I'm fat? I can't have a full plate of food? Is that what you're saying? That's kind of what's going on here.
That's a very good example.
Yeah.
I do like that.
I didn't say that at all. I said that's what I said.
So the T-Wolves win 103-96. And eliminate the Lakers. And on the Scott Van Pelt Sports Center, you got Kendrick Perkins, who goes all in on Redick's decisions.
I'm J.J. Redick. I know basketball more than anybody in the world. I'm going to stick with this small ball lineup. No matter how big the Minnesota Timberwolves are, I'm going to do it my way because I only care about offense. Forget the fact that they have Rudy and Julius Randle has been punishing us in the paint. Jay McDaniels has been going off in this series. I'm going to stick with a 40-year-old LeBron James playing the center position.
And then lastly,
I never want to do this and blame a series on one individual, but I have to blame this series on J.J. Redick because when it comes down to the postseason, as a coach, you have to make adjustments.
So that's pretty pointed, I would say, right?
Yeah,
there.
I was a former colleague of his, too, yeah. Right? I mean, they worked together.
And then you had LeBron postgame. He struggled in the fourth quarter, didn't do a whole lot, but he was asked the question, you tell me what you think this means. He was asked the question, you've kind of struggled a little bit since the trade at the center position, and you've kind of played without a center since you traded Anthony Davis to Dallas. I don't know if I left the question in or not, but listen to this answer from LeBron.
No comment. I never say that because my guy AD said what he needed, and then he was gone the following week, so I got no comment. I put that uniform on every night. I gave everything I had, and that's all that matters.
I didn't get it.
Yeah, I think he's just laughing because if you go back before the trade, Anthony Davis said that he thought that they needed another big man before the trade deadline, and then he ends up getting traded. So I just think he was having some fun with that.
So they removed the big man, and now they needed two big men. What's his name? Perkins is exactly right.
No, he is. But yeah, I just
how's that trade look now, guys?
Make Well, I think it's still you'd rather have Luka Doncic than what they did.
Yeah, but he it didn't go so good as they lose in five. Rudy Gobert, by the way, who was mentioned there, 27 points, 24 rebounds, and 12 of 15 from the field. A few dunks, obviously, but had a very efficient night, 3 of 6 from the line. Also, tonight you got the Nuggets in L.A. to take on the Clippers. Maybe the Clippers will play longer than the Lakers do. All right, the baseball from last night. We will start in Baltimore with the Yankees and the Orioles.
Runner goes, here's pitch. Swing and a miss. Throw down to second. High. Reyes knocks it down and pretty much lands on Kerstad, but seems everybody's okay. A stolen base for Kerstad is first.
You know, that was a terrific stop by Reyes because if that, whoa, now we have a little problem on the second base.
There's no need for any kind of beef in here. Come on.
Come on.
I mean, he did kind of teabag him out there, you know.
He jumped. What is he supposed to do?
I mean, it's a tough spot to avoid, but...
Yeah, of course. You got to go catch the ball, and then you come down on his head. What do you want?
The guy's balls was on his head.
Well,
that's what happened. I wouldn't be too happy about that.
Teabag. And all kidding aside, my guess would be, I could be wrong, it's an infielder, that cup, the Athletic supporter hit him.
I mean, you don't know. These guys don't usually wear that.
Some don't. Some do. He might not be. I don't know.
If it's inadvertent or on purpose, of course, that matters intent, but... Like, if you're this guy in the Orioles, you got this guy's balls on your head, you're not happy about it.
So that's Heston Kerstad. He was asked what happened. He really didn't want to get into it too much.
We got tangled up while I was trying to steal base.
How angry were you with Reyes?
Oh, I think, you know, we got tangled up there. You know, emotions from both sides kind of went up, and I think it was too much.
That was pretty much it.
Being boys, man. Come on.
That was it. There was nothing. Here was Aaron Judge's take.
Yeah, it was a weird bench clearing. You know, the guy's jumping up to make a play. I don't know what he's mad about. So, but I don't know about a rivalry. We got a job to do. You know, we're just out trying to play ball, so I got nothing.
Could you imagine?
I mean, if you see Aaron Judge coming in from the outfield, who's got him?
Wait. So I watched Kerstad with the media. So there were, like, follow-up questions. And there's Judge who specifically says, I don't know what else he's supposed to do. Could you imagine if one of these dweeb reporters like myself followed up with, well, for one, not have his balls on his head?
Right. I mean, at the end of the day.
His reaction would be tremendous.
It looked like he had a teabag in his mouth. It looked like he was teabagging out there.
Yeah, little reporter, whoever it is in there. Well, I mean.
That's Aaron. Good solid analysis, Al.
To be fair.
Yeah.
It was teabagged him at second base.
Your thoughts, Aaron?
Yeah. Well, you know, it happens. You know, long season, 162. You know, listen, I've been teabagged. I think 6 times last year I got teabagged. Oh, so, man. At second base.
Oh, funny. Anyhow.
Teabags.
The Yankees will be home for the Rays tomorrow night. The Mets, meantime, have one more with the Diamondbacks. They lost last night 4-3. They simply couldn't hit with runners in scoring position. Ryan Stanek, the loss. Here was Carlos Mendoza, who, listen, his team is 21-10, so he's not going to complain about much. He says Stanek was fine.
Today, he got a ground ball at third base. Get a ground ball that somehow gets through broken bat. He's a double, soft single, like... You know, like, stuff locked right now. So, stuff is good. And, like I said, he just got to continue to fight through it.
And the same for Juan Soto, who went 0-for-4 with a walk in this game. Mendoza says, was asked if he thinks he's pressing at this point.
113 off the bat, first at bat, you know, then he goes the other way. Like, not really. I haven't seen any indications of him getting frustrated or... Very good at batting the ninth. So.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's just not happening for him right now. We will see if he can get that turned around. It's a 110 start today on 880 Mets Odyssey Radio. Kodai Senga will make the start. Corbin Burns, by the way, 6 innings for the win last night. The Mets 21-10, and they finish out April with a mark of 13-2 at Citi Field. That loss snapped an 8-game home winning streak. The Rockies did win. They beat the Braves 2-1. Notable because that makes Colorado 5-25, so a little slow start for them. We heard from Jameis Winston. So he put, I'm sure you saw this video, this TikTok video that's out on social media, where I guess someone's trying to teach him like New York City lingo and language, if you will. And then Winston kind of ran with it in his own video.
Gabagool from The Sopranos. Gabagool.
Gabagool. Yeah. Gabagool. 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 For Thanksgiving, that's going to be epic. A gobble gobble goo.
They don't cut this guy. I want this guy around.
Yeah, they can't cut him.
He's a lot of fun. So, anyhow, the NFL did fine the Falcons $250,000 and Jeff Ulbrich $100,000 for his son's prank of Shedeur Sanders during the draft weekend.
Why don't they just throw Jax Ulbrich in jail? Just throw him in jail for a week or two.
Well, why would you do that?
Maybe we can deport him.
Yeah, maybe we could do that too, yeah.
The Capitals beat the Canadiens 4-1, end the series in 5. Panthers beat the Lightning 6-3, end the series in 5. And the Jets beat the Blues 5-3, Winnipeg up 3-2 in that series.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. The morning of Game 6. It is in the air in Detroit. Knicks have to finish off the Pistons or it's going to be one weird night. It's Madison Square Garden on Saturday night. We're also waiting for CBS News and CBS This Morning to finish up at 9 a.m. Because Stephen Waldron of CBS Sports has promised us that he will get us Tony DeCoppo, who interviewed Bill Belichick and had the Jordan Hudson thing going on there on CBS Sunday morning. So we are hoping for that. Frank in Elmont wants to talk about it. What's going on, Frank?
What's going on, G? Let me ask you a question. Are you crazy? They are never letting that guy on the air with you. No chance. You know why? Because they're in a lawsuit right now. They're getting sued up the ass by Trump, just like ABC did. They're not going to take a chance of this guy saying something stupid. You got to be out of your mind.
Well, yeah, Tony's not that. Tony's not at all controversial. All he is a news guy that was answering or asking questions of Bill Belichick.
You're talking about the 60 Minutes thing? Is that what Frank's talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
I think the 60 Minutes producer resigned or something.
This is a totally different situation.
I mean, we're a sports talk show.
Come on.
Bill Belichick is one of the biggest figures in sports. Tony interviewed him. There was a controversy associated with it. We just want to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
Set the record straight. That's all.
He's a Mets fan. What are we going to do? And he knows how to, he can avoid the questions if he doesn't want to answer any of the questions. We're not even going to ask him tough questions. We're going to ask him the obvious ones.
Let me ask you, what exactly did Tony do that was?
Nothing. He did nothing wrong.
Asked him how they met. And then she reacted to that.
So that's
what we're all getting in a huffy, whatever you call it, about?
Hullabaloo.
Hissy fit. Yeah, hissy fit. Is that we're all having hissy fits over this?
Panties in a knot, another thing you could say, you know? But,
Tony's panties aren't in a knot.
No, they're not. No. I think Tony is completely, he's just a figure in this. I think what it is there's a...
He's a messaging vessel.
He's a vessel in this whole thing. But I think where the dispute comes is Belichick and Hudson are saying that they told CBS News this was all about the book and all about football and no other stuff. CBS News is saying we never got that directive and this was supposed to be a wide-ranging interview.
Right, and this is why Jordan Hudson put out the email that Bill Belichick said.
Oh, here we go. CBS News spokesperson. Hey, can you read that for us, Stephen Waldron, since you are a CBS spokesperson?
When we agreed to speak with Mr. Belichick, it was for a wide-ranging interview. There were no preconditions or limitations to this conversation. This was confirmed repeatedly with this publisher before the interview took place and after it was completed.
Okay, so there you
go. Thank you, Stephen.
Yeah, I don't think that was Stephen. I think that might have been Andrew.
Who was that?
No, that was Stephen.
I lowered my voice.
Okay, good job. Okay.
He went into, like, real professional
mode.
That's how he talks when he's Stephen Warden.
Yeah, it's the warden right there.
Alter ego.
All right. So there you go. So this was confirmed repeatedly with his publisher before the interview took place and after it was complete. Too.
That's the publisher, not the publicist.
Right. Not Miss Jordan Hudson. Is that the way you say it? Jordan? I saw KFC do a 1 minute man thing. And he goes, Jordan Hudson. It's a D-O-N. To me, it's just Jordan Hudson. But he's going Jordan Hudson.
I don't know. Maybe he's just trying to cut through. The Mishigash.
Yeah. Like Jose Buteau now. It's not Jose Buteau. It's Jose Buteau. You got that one?
Jose Buteau.
Buteau. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we had, you know, lots of these issues throughout the years.
Just want to make sure you, you know, pronounce the name the right way.
It's a respect thing, you know?
Yes.
Jake is in Boston. What's going on, Jake?
What's going on, gentlemen?
Hey, man.
Listen, I actually sent Tony an email 2 days ago. I've been on top of Belichick for the last 7 or 8 years because this behavior actually started with his ex. A couple things specific to this, if you get him on. Number one, her and Caroline Leavitt, who is the White House press secretary, are very friendly on Instagram. They're both from the same region. They're both northern New Englanders. They both are also an age gap relationship. And the way she came across was very much similar to the way Caroline conducts a White House press room. So I wonder if he has any insight onto Jordan's relationship with Caroline Leavitt and what they've been talking about behind the scenes, because I think that's a fascinating aspect of this. Two, I don't know where Carolina goes from here, because this reminds me of what happened last summer, at least with how this story has grown and grown and grown, similar to what happened with Joe Biden during the first debate. And it was the initial wave of coverage, but each day results in a new peeling of the onion. And if you're the University of North Carolina, a public institution, and you realize everything from this from now on, and today you have the great New York Post story about all the real estate Jordan has gotten over the last 18 months, more layers are going to come to the surface. They don't necessarily have a way out, and that's a really expensive buyout, but there's no way this gets better. And there's too much time between now and the start of the season in September to where this is not going away. And by the way, yesterday, we got the first comment from the Belichick family on this stuff that's not named Bill.
Yeah.
When Bill's daughter-in-law, Jennifer Belichick, commented on a post on the Gronkowski Edelman podcast on Instagram, responded to Nikki Glaser, who was basically like, Jordan was unprofessional. And Jen goes, that's not what a publicist is supposed to do, and basically called out Jordan. So this is also in the family, too. Jordan does not talk with the kids, even though behind the scenes we've seen FOIA emails about her and Steve and defending Steve. They don't have a relationship with
Jake,
the kids
right now.
What do
you right do now all day, man?
This has been my beat for the last 6 years.
This is incredible. I have to say,
so here's the question that I have for Jake, because it sounds like, you know, I don't know if you heard Al Dukes this morning talking with Jerry Recco. They have a bet, and Al Dukes says that there's no way that Bill Belichick is going to be coaching the North Carolina Tar Heels this season. Are you in agreement with Al Dukes?
You know, if they had squashed this story, and to be honest, I thought there might be some behind-the-scenes maneuvering from Bob Kraft in terms of sabotaging the interview with the Bill question, because Bob and Sherry Redstone are really close. Robert Kraft is on the board of Viacom because of Sherry Redstone. The Redstone, Sherry's father, was the first one to call Robert Kraft.
Yeah, but Jake, you do know it's been sold. You do know that Viacom Paramount has been sold to Skydance.
They've got to get approval from the FCC, That's involved Sherry pretty significantly. I think it's going to be a long road to the finish line here. I do think she was a net positive in terms of buzz and hype until this happened, because ultimately Carolina's goal is to have enough buzz and energy around the program to where the SEC and the Big Ten are looking at them and saying, expansion, we want you over Virginia Tech. We want you over Florida State. They're in that conversation. And until this happened yesterday, and basically the emasculation of Bill Belichick over the last 72 to 96 hours, they were part of that conversation. And that's their bigger goal with this hire. So as long as the onion doesn't keep peeling, and I think it's going to keep peeling, he'll be there on opening day. I just think you've got to slash
all right, Jake,
as best as possible.
Are you? Let me just ask you this: are you a fan of Bill Belichick or no?
I'm a Patriot fan, but I realized 5 or 6 years ago that there was Bill's ex had a lot of power in terms of what he was making Bill do. Do you remember the draft in 2020 where Nike the dog was?
Yeah,
the dog
was sitting there.
That was disgusting. I emailed Jason Gay, wrote this puff piece on how great it was, and I'm like, Jason, this is the dumbest thing I think I've ever seen. His draft, he's drafted one Pro Bowler in the last 7 years. Like, you can't have the dog as a draft prop. The year before, she drafted Juwan Williams for him in the second round because they both went to Vanderbilt. And Bill, everyone kept talking about how great it was. Bill was going to Middle Tennessee State in February of 2020 when he wasn't at the draft combine. It's because Linda was dragging him all over Nashville. as a socialite prop.
Well, Jake, this is incredible. I mean, I'm floored by the amount of research you've done on this. Are you this into the Karen Reed trial as you are with the Belichick stuff?
Not as much. You'll have to leave that to Turtle Boy. That's his beat.
Okay. Do you think she's going to be found guilty or innocent?
I think the state has to find her guilty because they spent a ton of money on it. She is innocent.
Okay. All right. Very good there, Jake. Amazing. I mean, this guy, Jesus. Linda Holiday and going to Vanderbilt and drafting guys.
Linda Holiday was drafting people?
Yeah. That's what he said.
So I guess what he is trying to say here is that the Belichick that we see as the football coach that we admire, that we respect, that we all wanted for the Giants and everything else, is this emasculated man and has been taken advantage of by two women who have changed his life and his direction?
That's what he's saying, yeah. I mean, he had lots of examples there.
Wow.
And by the way, wasn't there an out or a buyout situation in Belichick's contract in June of this year?
Well, yeah, if he ended up getting a pro job, yes.
But is it contingent on that?
I don't know, but I still say...
Well, I think it's important now.
I still say, you remember how low Colorado went as a football team and as a football program? They weren't getting any people at the games. Nobody was going there. They weren't winning. And they became an afterthought and probably a joke in many of the eyes of the administration there in Colorado and also the alum. So what did they do? They went out and they hired a showman. And that guy came in and did everything that he said he was going to do. And that was to put Colorado back on the map and rebuild the brand. Because he's always been about the brand. Now, it's been his own brand in terms of Prime. But he had to rebuild the brand of Colorado. And for at least the last 2 years, he has moved the needle significantly for Colorado and has made them a known entity.
Yeah, but I know you're trying to get to the Belichick part of this. This is the direct opposite, right? He's ruining their brand.
Yeah, no, but maybe they're ruining the brand now, but I think that the reason that North Carolina went in this direction.
Yeah, sure. Of course.
It's the same reason why Colorado went in their direction, but they thought that they were hiring, you know, a football savant, which Bill is. I don't care what anybody says. He is. But I don't think they were hiring what they got now, right now, in terms of all of this stuff around his book. Like, I don't even know why he wrote a book. Why would he have to write a book?
I don't know. Maybe this because he didn't think it was going to be coaching, and he figured here's a little bit more revenue that can go in my pocket. It's all about money. He wanted to make some more money. That's why he wrote a book.
Yeah, but you got to know when you have to go on these book tours, as every writer knows, you're going to be asked questions that, you know, either don't involve the book or just specifically about the book. But I think this is what happened here.
Yeah, I mean,
with CBS.
Yeah, clearly that's what happened. But yeah, so that out in the contract in June, that to me is now fascinating. Because if this thing continues to bubble up, like Jake in Boston is saying, and the layers of the onion continue to get peeled every day, and it gets weirder and weirder, and then UNC is like, I got to get out of this thing. We got to figure out a way to get you out of here.
They're not going
to
do that. They're too far into it. The season's literally like right around the corner. The team is being built. You know, he's got Mike Lombardi down there. He's got his son down there. He's put a whole coaching staff together. I mean,
his daughter-in-law hates his girlfriend, though. He's supposed to be the head coach in waiting. And then also these emails out there about her protecting him because of the nepotism thing can't be helping either. Whole thing's a disaster. Well, Miss Hancock's got it all screwed up.
Well, and then she's going to be running for Miss Hancock again here in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We should go.
But I don't think that.
Go up to the Miss Hancock competition.
I really don't think that this is going to have anything to do with North Carolina's decision to keep him or get rid of him. I think that they're all in. They're all in for him right now. And no matter what you hear, maybe from a unidentified source or something like that, I don't think any of that matters. I think North Carolina is all in, and he's going to coach them. And
this point of the information that we know, if it continues to get stranger and stranger, then who knows? But, I mean, every day it's something weirder. So that's why. And then Al's right. Once you get everybody sniffing around it now. The Athletic, New York Post.
The family may just be upset just because of, you know, his age, how much he's accumulated, and, you know, who's he leaving it to, that kind of thing. You get into that, you get into that world, now all of a sudden anything can happen.
Yeah, I mean, she just purchased four $2 million homes.
Or whatever she owns.
Yeah.
Land or homes or whatever.